This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, opening night for the Dallas Mavericks. And we're at Richardson Bar and Grill here on Campbell Road in Richardson. Welcome in. We have G-Bag Nation flags. We have G-Bag Nation Flagtober pint glasses. First of its kind.
Badass. You know,
beautifully etched.
They are.
Brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door. And salute to those guys.
Shout out to Tolbert, man.
Yeah.
They're out here. They're partying. You can go get yourself a drink with Colby, who's out here in the flesh,
nice.
Man. There's no bigger Tolo than Colby Tolbert. And we really do appreciate their support here for Flagtober. And the flags, they're out in full force. I know people are texting in like, are there enough? Don't worry. I don't think we have a shortage on the flags. Now, General, you'd know more than I do, but get on out here.
It is possible to run out, but I think you're good right now. And we're good because we have Cowboys-Niners coming up, World Series coming up, and opening night for the Mavs. What do you guys think? Mavs beat the Spurs for now.
Yeah.
But is Wemby about to take over the league?
I think
that's the real question. Is it happening now? Is it happening next year? It could be now.
I think the Spurs are going to be in the playoffs this year. Yeah, I think this year.
I think at least that, you know. But I think what happens year two for a lot of guys now, maybe year three or year four, but you get a good look, you take all those lessons in, and then you refine all the techniques that you need to take advantage and, you know,
yeah,
make up for where you were short. Obviously, there's a lot of good players in the league right now, you know. But his athletic and size advantage is such that when he does fully break out, whether that's year now or 2 years from now, Chief, he's going to be the MVP multiple times, right? This is going to be the most dominant force we have ever seen in basketball.
Yeah, I think you're talking about certainly that opportunity here. He has everything that you would paint in terms of trying to basically build almost the perfect basketball player. I mean, he's a total cheat code out there on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy that can be your MVP and your defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
He qualifies for both of those things. So, and now he's in an offense where you have a real point guard.
Yeah.
So
the
who always makes the playoffs.
The quality of his looks,
yeah,
in this offense will now be, I mean, he will get such easy looks. You forget that they still have Harrison Barnes as well. So they have a little bit more of like actual veteran basketball players. And he's not just out there with a bunch of random young dudes. But I think he's going to take an even bigger step this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, they call guys like creative players, like video game style.
Yes.
But I think if you tried to create him, even if you had all the hacks, like the computer wouldn't let you get there, right? Like, you can't be that tall and that quick with that good of a shot and a handle.
Right.
Yeah. If you made a guy that big in a video game, they'd be like, sorry, you know, that's unrealistic.
Yes.
But
it's going to take forever to build up enough points to build up his speed and things like that and his jumper and whatnot.
So how about a Mav-centric discussion? Is this the year that, you know, Luka wins MVP? And if you believe what we're saying about Wemby, you better get one in now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's another great point in terms of Wemby might be stealing a lot of these from you. I think Luka's saying the right things to start the season to have you hopeful that they do. I mean, I think some of the things that's held him back, one, there might be some voter issues with Luka. There might be some that just don't like him in terms of, I think we even have Tolos that are Maverick fans that don't like Luka. They find it annoying watching him bitch and whine at the referees. And I understand that. And if he's able to correct that and he learned from game four, game three, whichever it was, game three in the NBA Finals, then yes, they've got to get a top four seed. They've got to be, if they go wire to wire as the one seed like you're predicting, then he absolutely is going to win MVP. For whatever reason, that seems like it's part of the criteria. You've got to have the best record. You've got to be among one of the best records. If you don't, you're going to get shafted for it. So if all those things end up taking place, I think absolutely Luka can win MVP. He's damn close last year for Shea, and he was the one seed in the West. And that's kind of what trumped Luka.
Do you kind of feel like that maybe health will have a factor in that?
Oh, yeah.
that, you know, if he can maintain health throughout, there are going to be nights where you're probably going to want to sit him and stuff like that. But I think a lot of it has to do, man, he, you know, right off the jump, he's probably going to get banged up. There's going to be a, you know, thigh contusion. There's going to be
he's already nursing a
shoulder. I mean, there's always, because he just plays the game very hard, and he goes inside and he like, you drive the ball, kick it. He takes a lot of contact.
Yeah,
I think the only thing holding him back was hopefully that nothing happens to where it causes him to have to miss 2 or 3 weeks in the season. And now, you know, he's having to play behind from that way. Because if he can stay healthy throughout the season, he's capable. The talent, we all know the talent's there. And the Mavs will win games when he's on the floor.
Hopefully they win a lot of games this year. We're live at Richardson Bar and Grill here this afternoon. Tip off at 6:30 tonight. It's an early one on TNT. We'd love to have you join us here and at least watch the beginning. The Nation runs until 7 o'clock here on 105.3 The Fan. Chief, do they need to make another trade here at midseason, or do you think this is going to be a season where we're like, we're good at the trade deadline, let's see how this team does?
Yeah, I think there's a legitimate case to be made that they are good enough as is to go ahead and still make a run without having to make a move. But you also have, I think you have some of the ability here with some of these contracts now that you could conceivably make another move, you know, some type of small role player type move. But this is nice because we're usually asking about the deadline in a big way, even on day one of the season. But I don't think we're at that place right now.
Yeah, right on. You know, I think I agree with you. Like, we don't need to, but if something would be coming available that would allow you to consolidate the minutes of multiple players into one, like, high-end guy who could defend, shoot threes, and also give you some playmaking, you know, it'll be a fun year because they still have assets, you know, picks and Al Hardy on that contract.
Right.
You know, and Klay Thompson, Najee Marshall, if they would want to move on, like let's say, you know, for whatever reason it doesn't work out and they're odd man out in a rotation, I think there are some minutes where I feel like you have to be on the lookout and maybe be a little bit aggressive to get the player that can allow you to defend the Celtics as well as they defend you and also give you offensive firepower. Maybe that's too special of a combination of traits to look for, but, you know, I don't think you can rest too much knowing how thoroughly Boston whooped you.
Yeah.
You know, that would be my take. Like, hey, we might feel good here in the West, but we got the Celtics to worry about.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, with the championship aspirations and knowing who you're going to have to go toe-to-toe with, then there is no, oh, we're 100% fine. It should be at every turn, can we make this even better? Because that's what Boston is, sort of a Teflon top-to-bottom situation if they're healthy.
Kind of feel like to me, and this is where I think Dallas would have gone toe-to-toe better with Boston last year, and I've said it before about Lively. I think a year of an experience and what he's able to do in off season, kind of understanding the rigors of having to go through a playoff run like he did, I think that'll only help them going forward. Should they make more moves? I'm always about making moves, but I think his experience will help this team going forward, having to match up against a team like Boston that's got a lot of outstanding players.
Cowboys now getting ready to take on the 49ers. What was a great team, now not so great, but they're banged up. Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy asked about preparing for Debo, who's working his way back from pneumonia. I think he should rest, said Mike. But we're preparing for him to play. Is that what you expect, Brian?
Yeah, I would expect it that him and then maybe even George Kittle, that's another one they're dealing with the you know, just you have to go into these games believing that these guys are going to play until proven otherwise. You know, Friday we'll roll around, we'll get the injury report, and then you kind of get an idea. But I think you have to prepare for them, for Samuel to play. They're going to need him to play, and they're going to need Kittle to play.
And just more confirmation of what Broadus has been telling you all week long on Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
There's always a threshold to return to play, said Mike. He's not over that threshold yet.
Yeah, he's not.
So, you know, that's a big one right there. Obviously, the defense isn't great. You take away their best player, and it's, you know, it's a recipe for another 40-burger.
And that's the problem you run into with the Cowboys. I mean, last week, even against the Lions, being at full strength, you maybe make that game a little bit closer. With some of the players being out for the 49ers, you would love to be able to have Micah Parsons rushing up against McKivitz and Trent Williams. Instead, now it's, you know, it's Sweat and it's Lawson and guys like that. It makes that a little bit more difficult.
Micah has played a lot of football for us. Said Mike, he has a high understanding of our defense. That's kind of a general approach that I've always taken. Says he'd like to have him go in pads first on Thursday. So without practicing today, just go ahead and book that. Yeah. You know, at least they're banged up. But, you know, Brian, you previewed the offense for us yesterday. You'll preview the defense coming up at 3:40. To recap yesterday, offensively, you think the 49ers can score more than enough points against the Cowboys, even if Debo and Kittle don't play?
Yeah, I feel like, though, that they run the ball well enough, and it presents some problems to the Cowboys that way. We've mentioned this, you know, playing stack box, eight men in the box, 43% of the time the Cowboys do that, it's still a problem. They're not as effective playing that way, and you know, San Francisco is going to force you to have to defend the run, especially if all their skill players at the wide receiver and the tight ends are out. Now, they could play a play-action game, too. They do the intermediate stuff, the 10 to 19 yards. They attack the middle of the field. I don't know how Kyle Shanahan and his staff couldn't watch the Detroit film and say, Dallas isn't very good defending the middle of the field right now. And with the linebackers, depending on what happens with Kendricks. Kendricks could be out in this game, too. You just don't know how that's going to play out. But the safety play, the linebacker play, the 49ers with their play-action game can definitely attack the middle of the field. And Dallas has shown they're really not ready to play against teams that are that good attacking that middle third.
Cowboy heart doing all right after hearing that, Wolchuk? I mean, Broadus kind of feels like the Niners don't even have to pass. They could just run it against you for 3 hours and get the dub.
I mean, I don't disagree. I said it last year after I thought the Cowboys would play their best game. They had put a lot of emphasis on we need to beat San Francisco, and they got completely demolished. That I'll never pick them to beat the 49ers until I see it with my own eyes. But I did just get an interesting message from a buddy of mine who covers the Patriots in New England.
Okay.
You want to do some reckless speculation, maybe a trade. Just maybe. Apparently the Pats are holding out Ramondre Stevenson from practicing. And he's asking me, you think the Cowboys have any interest, dude? I don't. We haven't heard anything like that. Probably a no. But would you have interest in a Ramondre Stevenson addition to your backfield? Not a super expensive player.
They just gave him a contract like before the season started.
They did. It's a $4.5 million average a year.
Okay.
So it's not like it's, oh my gosh, crazy. And he's got three more years left on that deal. So it's not like you've got to pay him. You know exactly what you're taking on anyway. But I thought that was interesting. I mean, my reply back is going to be, I don't think so. But
you know,
I'd be interested.
There's a good philosophical conversation being had right now by many smart Cowboy observers. You know, maybe not observers that Jerry respects, but have dedicated their lives to studying the NFL and how to make a winning team. And, you know, it's this idea that we need all the draft picks we can have right now to get young talent. I think what they need is good players. Mm-hmm. And if you can find players that are going to perform consistently well for under top of market value, then I think you got to be looking at all these. Because every draft pick you use for a player that you know can play right now is taking the risk out of that draft pick and giving you a guy that you know can help now. How many more like player acquisition windows do you have? You have the offseason coming up. And then you have trade deadlines, mm-hmm. you know? So you got to take every chance you can to get better right now. Like, Nico couldn't rebuild the entire Mavs roster in one offseason.
Yeah,
it was, hey,
time.
You know, let's do this and this. We got a draft. We got PJ. We got Gafford. And now this year, bang, Najee Marshall, Quentin Grimes, and Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. You know, and now we're complete. So I kind of look at it like, right now, if you could get Cooper Kupp at wide receiver, who's cap number will be $14 and $12 million over the next 2 years if he's traded. The Rams are even willing to eat more of that. Okay, you get that for a two. Now we don't have to use a one for a draft pick on a wide receiver. We have the complement to CeeDee Lamb, at least when he's healthy. Maybe you use a day three pick and try to find some depth there, and then you take maybe your fourth for Ramondre. Okay, so I got your, and we can win the division this year. I know that is music to Jerry's ears.
Yeah.
Get a competent running back and a star wide receiver number two. This team can, you know, win significantly more games. Are they a contender? No. But I think that satisfies not wanting to sacrifice for the long term.
Yeah,
right?
But I hate that. Like, okay, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think they are either. But that's why I'm not going to not make a move just because I'm not a Super Bowl team. Now, if it's a rental like the Chiefs are doing with DeAndre Hopkins, where he's a free agent after this year, right, that's a win-now type of move. If I've got Ramondre Stevenson and Cooper Kupp under contract past this year, I'm open to that type of stuff. As long as it's something where you have this guy under contract and control for multiple years after this one, because exactly, it's one less need you've got to fill in the draft. And it's impossible with the way they team build to be able to fill every single need in the draft. I mean, you're asking your scouts to ace every draft. And we saw 2 years ago, it's just an impossible task.
It's a big challenge. Yeah, but you are using a draft pick to, I guess, get something that's more of a surefire thing in your mind, a guy who's performed in the league in Ramondre Stevenson.
And they'll get compensatory picks back.
For guys that they lost.
Yeah, and they're going to get a lot this year.
They are. They do have some stuff that's expendable. And Stevenson would definitely immediately be your best running back, that's for sure. That's just that one of those positions that you want to be cheap and young. And not that he's not young, but he's certainly not the cheapest. And that's a guy who's been banged up. I mean, he's on the injury report pretty frequently. He's a physical back. So for me, I would probably say no. But he would be an upgrade.
Alrighty. I'm kind of in that mode, and I'll say this quick. I would be interested to see what Dalvin Cook still has.
Well, Sean says it's this week or next week, right?
Yeah, I just got to, you know, to me, I'm just interested. Just see what he has. If you run him out there and it doesn't work out, then you find a way to move on. You know, you find a way to get a little bit better there. Maybe you make a trade. But at least he's been working with you. I would give it a go just to see what you have. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, yay, no harm. You go to the next guy.
We'll give the G-Bag of the Day a go coming up at 2:30. We're live at Richardson Bar and Grill here on Campbell Road. We have G-Bag Nation flags. We have, for the first time ever, Flagtober pint glasses.
Sweet.
Brought to you by our friend at Tolbert Garage Door, who just delivered us some new Tolbert Garage Door hats as well.
Fire.
So salute to those guys for sponsoring this, and salute to Richardson Bar and Grill for having us out. We're back with highest paid Cowboys of all time, Will Chuck?
Yeah, this is adjusted due to inflation.
Oh, cool.
877-881-1053.
I was going to say,
who are the 10 highest paid Cowboys of all time? That's next in the nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Richardson Bar and Grill, having a great time here, meeting all kinds of Tolos. Met a Tolo here that has two Ron Worshipper T-shirts from the 2010 World Series that Greg Henson and I made.
Oh, hell yeah.
Have another Tolo here that was at the women's professional softball game like 8 years ago when Abby threw out the first pitch.
No way.
We're having a great time here already at Richardson Bar and Grill, handing out flags, handing out the Flagtober pint glasses, and just hanging, you know. G-Bag of the Day is coming up here at 2:30. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. And here's Wooly Bully with some Cowboys contracts.
Okay, Morning News put this out about a week ago. The highest paid Dallas Cowboys of all time. Now, this is adjusted to inflation. Yeah. So, you know, this gives us a better read. Otherwise, I think it might be a little bit easier to guess. But ask the Tolos, 877-881-1053. How many could you guess? 903 is going 1 through 5 is easy. Dak, Zeke, Tank, Witten, Romo, Dez. Then they think T.O., Emmett, Troy, Michael would be their list right there. So that's a solid guess.
Did they have where on there? Did they say where?
Is this percentage of the salary cap?
Nowhere.
Is this percentage of the salary cap?
Nowhere to be found.
No, not percentage of the salary cap. It's just earnings.
Inflation.
Yeah, just earnings.
I'm still going to go with the modern guys. I think, you know, the salaries have skyrocketed recently thanks to all the TV money coming in.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I think it's outpaced inflation for sure.
Zach Martin in there?
Zach Martin. Not in the top 10.
Tyron Smith?
Just kidding. He is. He's six.
He's six?
Tyron is three. Tyron Smith is your third highest paid Cowboy of all time. Adjusted for inflation, Zach Martin at number six is on the list. Now, the guys that didn't quite crack the top 10, there is one that I think is a little bit surprising that maybe Cowboy fans wouldn't have guessed on here, but Dez is just on the outside of the top 10.
Mm. His total dollars earned? Lifetime with the Cowboys?
Yeah. Career earnings.
He was a 10-year guy, right? Dez? How many years did he play?
I don't know if he even played 10. Yeah, no.
He was in 10?
7 or 8.
10?
Yeah, he was.
2010 to like 2017, I want to say. Oh, thank you so much. We've got more.
Was it tequila handoff? Did you already take a whiskey shot?
So I'm having to pull a – I'm pulling a Sean Sharif, I suppose, today.
What does that
mean?
I'm
going to have to see how this goes.
Oh, you're mixing?
Sean's got the skill of just like, here's a shot of tequila. Here's a shot of whiskey. Here's some bourbon. Here's some wine.
I've never been with somebody that drinks a beer, a shot – a couple of more shots, and then beer. He goes back.
I don't know how he does it.
He doesn't never have the same drink.
It's always
hung out with George Thurgood.
Oh, yeah, there you go. The Delaware Destroyer. Yeah.
So,
but Sean won't drink the same beer.
No.
Like he'll drink like another beer. Like
likes the sample.
Like I'll have a Dos Equis, and then his next beer will be like, oh, I have a Miller Lite, and he'll do a shot. But he never drinks the same drink.
No, he's changing it up.
As Walchuk mentioned, then he'll throw in like a glass of red wine.
Yeah,
here's a frozen cocktail. And he's just like all over the place, and he can wake up and function, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Yes. It's nuts.
So I'm trying, like I started with tequila with some legendary Tolos we've got chilling at the table
in
front of us.
Studs over there.
Then we had a guy drop off what I believe was like the cinnamon whiskey, the Fireball, the Brian likes. I don't know if Brian's going to take that shot. If he doesn't, I'm close to the house. This is kind of like a home game for me.
Feel free. Go at it, man. It's very nice, though.
I'm planning on boozing, so now it'll be another shot of tequila. So, hey, if you want to
Dawson,
booze.
Was that the T-shirt?
Eric,
that's the Ron Warsper T-shirt.
Here, right? I can count on you. I can't count on Brian. He talks a lot of talk.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll do a little sippy sip.
Look at that shirt. Dawson and him designed that shirt.
That's a badass shirt.
Yeah, you know. That was mid. We some bad boys right there. As I think that was maybe after the ALCS or ALDS.
That's awesome.
Peak Ron. We had that and some Warsh rags. We got little hankies made up with that face on it. We call them Warsh rags.
Warsh rags.
That's amazing.
I dig that. Okay, I'm going to post this at Gavin Dawson on X if anybody wants to do a little fan nostalgia
fantastic.
With me,
dude.
We've gotten a great meeting. We've got an obscure cowboy at 15.
Obscure cowboy at 15?
15 highest paid cowboy of all time. I think 1 through 10 you guys are going to be able to nail pretty easily. Like you mentioned, Tyron at 3.
But an obscure cowboy.
But one who's like, he was with the team for a long time. He got one big contract.
Tyron Crawford. Wow.
Yeah. Tyrone,
I'm sorry.
What a pull.
Yeah, thank you.
15. And honestly, one of the most underrated cowboys of his generation. Brandon Carr at 14 got the big free agent deal.
$50 million.
Seems like they've been scared to pay in free agency after that.
He's the one guy that actually made through the whole contract, right? He played every year of the contract is what he did. Yeah.
He did. Like, it wasn't even a bad deal. Yeah. And he was a good player. Was he great? No, but he was good. Sean Lee at 13. Amari Cooper at 12.
Mm.
Dez at 11. Number 10 is Zeke. I thought Zeke might be a little higher. But Zeke comes in at 10. You mentioned DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
Ware's at 9.
There you go.
Ware's at 9. Emmett Smith at 8.
Wow.
Jason Witten at 7. Oh. 7th highest paid cowboy of all time. Then Zach Barton is at 6. So the top 5, you guys guessed Tyron at 3. I think Dak at 1 is a foregone conclusion.
Right.
Dak is 1. So Dak at 1, Tyron at 3, but 2, 4, and 5, maybe a little interesting.
He's won the most of Jerry's money.
Dak Prescott. Didn't take him long.
He just passed Tony Romo.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Romo's at 2. So your quarterbacks are 1-2. Did the other quarterback crack the top 5?
Old Troy. Man.
And this is adjusted to inflation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, adjusted for inflation.
Yes, yes.
I would have to think yes.
Yes.
He did. He made number 5.
Yeah, there we
number go. Number 5 highest paid Cowboy of all time. DeMarcus Lawrence comes in at number 4.
Mm.
So it's Dak, Romo, Tyron Smith, Tank, and Troy Aikman are your top 5 highest paid Cowboys ever. And then Zach Martin, Jason Witten, Emmitt Smith, Ware, Zeke, Dez, Amari, Sean Lee, Brandon Carr, Tyron Crawford.
So I wonder where this new CeeDee Lamb contract is going to end up slotting him in there.
Yeah.
You know? Because he got the boom bye.
Well, if you don't adjust for inflation, CeeDee's at 3.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Wolchuk. Mm-hmm. There it is, a full report on the top paid Cowboys of all time, adjusted for inflation. We're live at Richardson Bar and Grill, Campbell Road. Join us, G-Bag Nation flags, G-Bag Nation pint glasses, brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has your G-Bag today. Yeah, hold up.
Talking about adjusting your stuff for inflation and whatnot.
Yeah.
I did my civic duty today, and I'll tell you what. City Council in Irving and everybody, they want their stuff adjusted for inflation. They want their salaries adjusted.
I'm waiting all over that.
Yeah, I put a little something on it. I put a little sauce on it. I was like, you know, I get it, man. Whatever, bro.
Let's get a 4-day work week going while we're at it.
Yeah, man. Please do that. Please. All right, I got a lot of clips right here, and they have a lot of audio to them, so I'm going to go fast. Mace, rapper Mace from the It Is What It Is podcast is our winner right here for asking Mike Tyson this here question.
Mike, how did you come up with those rants before the fights, though?
Rants?
When you pause, when you told what you call it, you was going to eat his kids and all that.
I'm bipolar. I'm tripolar. Not well. I need medicine. I need to be on. Not well.
Mace's laugh, bro.
Dude, he might be a better talk show host than he was a rapper. He was great.
I don't know.
Man,
They're so goofy. They're so goofy. Yeah. Like, I like to listen to them, but they get the laughing, and it's the laugh that lasts 5 minutes, and it's... You're like, oh, man. All right.
That might be the best question ever to Mike Tyson.
The Lucius impression is fantastic. Like, you could do an SNL bit.
Hilarious. All right. Let's see. This kid. Shout out to Pops putting his kid... His pain again. We got another Pops putting his kid's pain on the timeline. Remember I played something earlier? The kid found out Mark Cooper got traded and he cried.
Right.
He boo-hooed in that backseat. And Dad recorded him and put it on the timeline for the likes.
Kid was a wuss.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you got a long life ahead of you, boy. I tell you what. Many a crying nights. Well, we got a kid. His fantasy team is in shambles. Dad recorded his pain and put it on the timeline.
Buddy, what's the matter?
I'm done with fantasy.
Why? What happened?
Everything. All my players are getting hurt. Yeah, and they're like some of the best ones.
Who's hurt now?
Chris Godwin's hurt. Now CeeDee Lamb's Debo Samuel's in the hospital. And CJ Stroud can't do anything.
Damn. CJ Stroud's sucking right now.
And so is Chris. Cortland Sutton.
Hey. You gotta look at the waiver wire and keep it moving. That's all you can do.
Come on, man. Come on,
keep it moving.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, you shouldn't be putting that in the timeline.
Player personnel dad, I would say. That's good advice.
Yeah.
Let's look at the waiver wire and keep it moving.
Poor kid.
As a dad, now I'm not a son dad. I'm not a boy dad. I'm a girl dad. But I think the play would be to record that video and then show it back to him. And be like, if you ever do this again, I'm putting it on the timeline, okay? You never know when someone could record you when you're acting like a baby back B word over here, son. That's not what we're about in this household. Is that how you do it? Is that how you boy dad?
I think so, bro. Yep.
I'll tell you what, man. That's one of those things where I think you'd have –
I think I'd be very kind of mindful of my son's feelings. Even after Texas got beat by Georgia,
yeah.
I waited for Bennett to call me.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, welcome to the SEC, you know, that kind of, I didn't play that card.
Yeah.
Which I
mean, Bennett's a man now.
Yeah.
This would have been like when he was nine.
Oh, he's cried about his fantasy team. Yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah, I'm sure. We all do. Yeah. It's been a rough year.
See here. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes, Friendship West Baptist Church.
Church.
Preach. Tabernacle. New breed worship center needs to be stopped, no matter the cost.
This ain't your mama's church. This is new breed, baby. This is how we roll in MBWC. Say what?
I'm in.
What's the name of it?
Stop it. You're out of control. Wow. They've been watching a little too much Righteous Gemstones. Am I right, Lucius?
Yeah, they're going hard, bro.
Peter Frampton vibe to
they
it.
They are going hard. A little Chromeo. Yeah, they're going hard, man. Speaking of, I was telling Carter earlier, about 6:30 this morning, my cousin called me freestyling on the phone, bro.
What?
Talking about cuz, I wrote this one last night. I've been waiting for you to wake up.
What?
You know, you just grab your phone and you just stare at it like, is this really happening, fam? Dude, call me freestyling, half drunk on the phone at 6:30 in the morning, bro.
Just coming in?
I don't know where he's coming from, bro, but I feel like he wrote a whole album that night. And just, you gotta hear it. It was awful.
Put my heart into this.
Yeah, I put my heart into it. I've been waiting for you, in particular, cuz, to wake up. All right, I got another church clip for you right here. I feel like this dude had a something on his heart. It's maybe a diss track in a sense. Check this out.
For those who looking at me funny, I see you will hide your word in my heart. For those that come here to spectate, I will hide your word in my heart. You looking at me funny, but yet you sit there broke.
What?
I will hide your word in my heart.
Wait a minute, what?
I know what God has for my life, and I'm a winner. I will hide your word in my heart. God's going to raise us up in front of those who look at me down. So as you are looking, you're going to see me go up, up, up. As you sit there looking, you're going to see us go up, up, up. And I'm going to laugh at the devil. And I'm going to win over the devil. While you sit there mad, while you sit there upset, I'm going to laugh at your face.
I'm gonna laugh at your face. Why you sitting there broke? I'm gonna hide the word in my what?
Tripping,
bro.
Your third grader write that for you?
That is hilarious. My man had something on his heart. He was talking to one person in that crowd individually.
Oh, dude.
Clearly. All right, last one right here. Yes, last sir. One. Hornets point guard LaMelo Ball, son of the great LeVar Ball, was in the post game talking like it was just you and me there.
LaMelo, the Hornets came back from an 18-point deficit. What inspired that
Before
performance?
Before we start, y'all, shout out my dad's birthday. Pop's birthday got the dub for him. You started off now.
Okay, happy birthday to Pops. All right, glad we got that in. Okay, all right. So now, other than playing for your dad tonight, what inspired that comeback?
I mean, just trying to win, being back out here, being on the floor with all the guys. So, like I said, we got to get this first dub. That's what we did.
And quite the performance from you, your first regular season game since January 26th.
Right.
What did this one mean to you?
I mean, I don't really know. I just be going out there playing basketball for real. So it just felt good to be out there again for real.
And we saw the handshake with Kemba. How much has he helped you prepare for this season?
Yeah, that's my brother right there. That's my dog. Like I said, he gang, I'm gang. We chilling all the time. I f*** on his family.
Wow.
I love it.
The realest post-game interview. All righty. So we have a champ and like three challengers. Lucius, I'm sorry, I'm unable to take notes.
Oh, yeah, you're good, today, bro.
So,
Oh, yeah. You want me to tell you what it is? Is that what you're saying
that
to me?
That'd be amazing.
Mace. Mace is our champion so far to Mike Tyson. We got the kids' fantasy team in shambles.
Shambles.
Hornets point guy, LaMelo Ball, giving a shout-out to his pops. And then we have the church combo situation. New breed worship center needs to be stopped no matter the cost. And I feel like a dude is out there talking to somebody in the crowd.
I'm pulling for LaMelo Ball. I feel like he is one of the gifts to basketball that is being held up by injury. Him and Zion.
Yeah.
1-2. But I'm going to go with the champ.
I'm going to go with LaMelo. Oh,
Chief Hall? What's that?
LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball. We're tied at one. Lucius, what do you say?
Church combo.
We're still tied at one, Wolchuk.
I'm going to go with the kid finding out and crying about his fantasy team.
Still tied at one.
Yeah, it's fantasy football today.
There it is, by a score of 2-1 in comeback fashion. Kid crying over his fantasy football team is your new G-Bag of the Day. We're live at Richardson Bar and Grill. They just brought us by an amazing slider sample platter. We got some egg rolls over here.
Apparently they're homemade egg rolls.
A lot of good happening.
Tough to say.
They know us.
They got an Italian egg roll.
Wolchuk's an all-time egg roll guy. They know that.
Yeah.
They know my affinity for beef. This is outstanding hospitality.
Richardson Bar and Grill, Campbell Road. Get a G-Bag Nation flag, a Flagtober pint glass as well. What do we got coming up next, gentlemen?
Yeah, let's go ahead and just mix bag this thing. Vegas is upset about Formula One. Is there a movie that you've seen recently and you forgot just how damn good it is? And what are the best arenas in the NBA? Does the American Airlines Center crack the list? That's next in the nation.
Yes, sir. We are live, G-Bag Nation, at Richardson Bar and Grill, Campbell Road up here. Join us, please. Or over here or down, you know, maybe you're in McKinney or, you know, Melissa or something up there. You'd be heading south for us, but we'd love to see you. It's north for me, okay, and it's north for a lot of people. Tim Cato's going to join us from All City Mavs coming up at 3:20. NFL News Today at 3 o'clock right now. A mixed bag. Here's Zachary.
All right, you guys want to start college football, NBA, or just a personal story?
Personal football NBA story that you had.
Okay. So this is random, but Eliza, even though she doesn't know what the hell's going on, she likes watching the Disney movies.
She likes watching what?
The Disneys?
The Disney films.
Okay.
They grab her attention, and she's obsessed with them. So we've been going through and rotating. Now, the other day...
They have hypnosis things that are
I guess
in those
so. Like,
they, you just
it,
don't even realize.
It's like the food we were talking about, right? They're putting ingredients in there that make us addicted to where we want. Disney does this for the kids.
Yes.
They're brain hacking.
There's something they're doing that's like addicting our children. And I was one of them. I'm a Disney kid. To Disney. Now, the movie I'm about to talk about is not Disney. I found that out because I was looking at Disney Plus for it, and it wasn't there. I had to go to YouTube for it, or Netflix for it. Prince of Egypt. Holy crap. I forgot how good of a movie The Prince of Egypt was.
I'd be lying if I said I really know for sure what that is.
You haven't seen The Prince of Egypt?
I'm about to find
you
out.
You should. You should watch it with the girls because
really?
It's awesome. It's all about Moses escaping from Egypt and, you know, that whole storyline. But
it's
incredible.
A Disney cartoon? Okay.
Yeah, and the song...
it's not Disney, right?
I think it's DreamWorks, I want to say. It might be like the same people that did Shrek.
Yep.
But it's fantastic. And I was like, damn. I think I saw it once as a kid, but watching it again, it still holds up. The animation and everything, the music from it. I was singing along to the songs. Like, damn. This movie, even though it's animated and it's for children, this is a fantastic film. And then Inside Out 2, the sequel that just came out.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I've heard so great things about
that. Oh, my God.
Heard both great things.
I saw the first one. I was never going to watch the second one. Maya puts it on. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly a little heartwarming. I'm not going to lie. What they're doing with this, because I've kind of taken a break from the animated scene.
Yeah.
Getting kind of back in there, I'm really looking forward to this. Now I can kind of go see some of these movies, and I feel like they're geared towards the parents a little bit more here.
Yeah. They'll tug at your heartstrings a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're brain hacking you, too.
They probably are.
Yeah.
They probably are. Man.
Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and throw that on the...
It's a good movie.
Throw that in the queue. Watch that with the kiddos.
Brian, I know you're a big F1 guy.
Huge.
Did you watch what happened in Austin? Hell of a race.
I did see a little bit of it, though. The Ferraris did a really nice job. They made a little bit of some equipment adjustment, I think, to their wings, and they went with a little bit of a different... It's amazing how you can make slight adjustments to those car and just the airflow on it and their ability. But, man, they handled really well. It's nice to see Ferrari with the 1-2 finish.
You guys remember when we were getting, we had drivers kind of take us around the strip when we were there for the Super Bowl. They did not like the F1 race. They're like, the traffic, yeah. They basically cut off a bunch of the streets, and it's even, say, a month in advance of the race.
Yeah.
So now there's
like
a... You
gotta set up the barriers and stuff.
Right, there's like a section like 3 months at least out of the year where it's a pain in the ass for us to drive around in our own city because of this race. So they are petitioning F1 and Nevada to move the race off of the Las Vegas Strip, and they might move it closer to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So it's about 20 minutes north of the Strip, outside of the city limits. They think this might be a better deal
by the
for
Air
the
Force,
locals.
By the Nellis Air Force base, I think is right.
I, you know what? I know that the event's going to be less than half as cool if it's not on the Strip, but you got to do it. It's just such an inconvenience. Whenever you're in Las Vegas, construction's going on. You have to take these walk bridges over to the other side. You can't walk down the street. It's a major pain in the butt for tourism, and yeah. I don't know if the payoff is worth it.
If you move the track off the Strip, don't have the race there anymore.
Yeah.
Mm. The draw is having it there.
Yeah.
You know,
it looks great on TV.
Listen, I ran the Las Vegas Marathon, one of the last marathons I ran, and we finished in a park over by McCarran Airport. The next year, they finished on the Strip.
They finished
on the Las Vegas Strip, and they had twice as many people run it.
Oh, yeah.
Run the marathon because of where you finished. And I thought, oh, cool, let's run the Las Vegas Marathon. We didn't even get close to the Strip. The next year they put it on the Strip, they doubled their entries and stuff like that. You don't run that race around the Strip in that area, you might as well not even have it.
I encourage everybody out here to Richardson Bar and Grill. This is quite the event. I mean, we got a lot of Tolos and Zolos that are coming out.
This is great.
This is cool. And the AC's kicking in. I can feel it a little bit.
I can feel it.
I can feel it a little bit. And the food's outstanding. If you want to get these homemade egg rolls, my God.
I've had like four of them already.
If you guys want any of these, you better jump on them or else.
Yeah, somebody was complaining that we were talking and eating at the same time, but it's like, blame that on RBG here.
Trust me, if you were sitting where we're sitting, you probably would be having a difficult time doing that.
Yeah. Okay. And you should know how much Wolchuk loves egg rolls.
Egg rolls and meatballs. You know me. I'm like I'm a rolling bowl kind of guy.
Are you using any of the dips?
Yeah,
there?
I used one of the dips.
It looks like they have a chili dip for the egg roll over there.
The red
chili
one?
Spice, yeah.
Like a sweet and sour kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, exactly.
Something's going on here. I think it's for the pork egg roll specifically.
They have a great... Did you try that gridiron gravy right there? You see how good that is?
Yeah.
Smell that?
Do you notice the mark in there?
That bark?
Me.
Oh, you're a dirty dog.
I marked it. Okay, let's look at the best...
Did he put his finger through one?
He slipped a sausage finger into one of those dips.
No,
I know he did.
Of
I know
the
he
sauce
did.
Going on, guys. Okay, don't be projecting on me. All right. I didn't do that.
He slipped a finger in the
ranch. He's already drinking, and now we're having problems.
He went all Urban Meyer on the ranch. He's going to call people out for their bet payoffs.
Yeah.
Dawson, you better watch yourself.
Yeah.
All right? You still owe one, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true.
The American Airlines Center, 13th best arena in all of the NBA, according to ESPN. They ranked them.
In honor of Steve Nash?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's his
homage.
Is Steve Nash the greatest 13 in DFW sports?
History? Well, other than Michael Gallup, MG13, baby.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like another 13 that really stands out.
Joey Gallo?
Overshown, dog.
Okay, Gallo. Yeah, Overshown's got a chance.
Right now.
I'd take Nash over Gallo, though. And Gallo's our boy, and we love him. Sweet, sweet man. But I would definitely take Steve Nash over Joey Gallo. But I think Overshown's got a chance to become the greatest 13, unless he does get the number zero, if Micah Parsons allows him
to do
so.
Was Bill Guerin 13 at the...
Bill Guerin was 13.
With the Stars?
Yeah, Bill Guerin had a hell of a career. But 13 for the American Airlines Center. Honestly, I think that's still pretty good. For as old as the arena is, it's been around now since 2001, seats 20,000 people. They've had roof leaks and all kinds of stuff that's been going on with that. I think 13's a pretty fair assessment. It's a good arena. It's not
it's
great.
It's a decent arena. You know, it's not bad at all. The experience used to win, you know, for like best experience in the NBA. And I think it's still fantastic. You walk up, it feels big time. You know, everything about it is great.
You could take the train to it. Pretty cool.
You could take the train. I'm glad Brian finally, after how many years?
I'm just telling you, man.
Realized that you take the
I'm
train
just telling
it.
You that train thing is not crazy.
No, it's genius.
Amazing, Brian. Welcome to the dark side.
I just don't know why anybody
would
want to
wear. Did my man right
there
want a bite of food?
It kind of looked like it. That's one of Will Chambers' best friends. We hung out with him on Saturday. He was part of the party.
He just sniffed your egg roll.
He did. Okay. He put his finger in the dip over there.
Did he finger the dip?
I think he looked at it. Yeah.
The hell? I want to know you to have some words with this guy. Bet payoff? Can I kick his ass?
Yes, I'll be down for that. Even though, no, because you, with whiskey, you actually will go over there and like.
No, I will, something. But that's why I have. I did have a shot of whiskey.
Double AC, though, I think the beauty of it, and part of the reason why it's still in the upper half of the league, is because it's rare that you show up and there's a leak that delays the game.
Very
rare.
It's only a playoff game.
It's
maybe.
Really it's a blue moon situation Late when game. That happens. And that's comforting driving to the. Driving to the arena.
It's like the April shower.
I kind of feel like Dawson likes the roof color over there, too. He's not going to be critical of that. Anyplace else in the town. Yeah, he's kind of looking at the roof color. It's not dingy, not dirty looking. Mm-hmm. You know,
they cut corners on that roof, man.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the AAC is that there's never a point where you fear the sun rays beaming into your player's eyes in an important moment.
That's true. They do a good job of avoiding that. Number one, though, number one arena in all of the NBA. Golden One Center in Sacramento.
The Beam.
I was thinking the Clippers would be winning it after last night, man.
Madison Square Garden at 2, Chase Center at 3, TD Garden in Boston at 4, Scotiabank. Is it Scotiabank?
That's in Scotia. That's in Toronto, right?
I feel like a dumbass.
Scotia.
It's Scotia, dude.
Is it really Scotia?
Beam me up, Scotia.
It's Scotia Bank. That makes so much more sense.
The fact that you said it with confidence makes it even better.
I do that a lot, but it probably...
Is it the whiskey talking now?
No, I still haven't had enough whiskey.
It might be the egg rolls.
It might be the egg rolls. Yeah, they don't have... Maybe Intuit Dome, because it's so new, they don't even have,
they don't have it on there yet.
They hadn't really been able to see it in action.
Who's last, please?
Oh, last.
Yeah, who is Dead Balls?
Do you have a guess at who's Dead Balls last while I scroll?
Yeah, I would say that for some reason the Sixers. Give me Philadelphia.
Dude, you know who it is?
Okay,
it's not the Wells Fargo Center.
It's the Spurs.
Spurs? That's AT&T.
It's Frostbank Center in San Antonio. And if you've ever gone to San Antonio, we were driving around one day because I went to Cowboys training camp when it was there with my buddies. It was Des Bryant's rookie year. And we're driving around San Antonio just trying to check it out.
And you were on the hunt for big girls. Let's be honest.
Of course. Charles Barkley style. Middle of nowhere is all of a sudden, boom, here's the Spurs arena.
It's out in the boonies,
isn't it? It's out in literally the middle of nowhere.
I would have said that maybe somewhere Detroit wasn't very good.
No, Detroit was in the top 10.
Was it really?
Because they got that new arena thanks to Little Caesars.
There we go.
Yeah, Smoothie King Center in New Orleans was 28.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Because technically they didn't rank Intuit Dome. They said to be determined. They still haven't ranked it yet.
Woolchuck with a mixed bag here. We're live at Richardson Bar and Grill, Campbell Road.
Shut up, Woolchuck.
Okay, coming up at 3:20, Tim Cato, Mavs reporter, is going to join us and give us all the Mavs content that you could possibly dream of here on Mavs opening night. Tip off at 6:30. Join us here. Do we have G-Bag Nation flags left? We have a few.
Hell yeah, we have G-Bag. We better not be out. It's an hour into the show.
I think we're under 10. Okay.
We're under 10?
We're over 50 G-Bag Flagtober pint glasses, though, brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door. And we're back with the NFL news of the day. Woolchuck, what's on tap?
Okay, beer, Uncrustables, and King Henry responds to Ant. That's next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.